the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Matches United Show. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown, joined with my regular co-host, Martin Walwork. Martin, how's things, mate?
I think you should want to change that to Mystic Martin, I think. two in a row.
Somehow he's predicted United will play like shit. But nonetheless, yes, no, Mystic Martino, he has rightfully predicted that he will pile on the pounds in his 40s. So that is a prediction that has come true.
Six weeks in, 5 weeks in.
Yes.
Yep. Looking good. It's fluffy season.
So much to get through today. We'll have Mickey Thomas on here in a few. We'll talk to Mickey, of course, who travels with United for TalkSport, I believe, or Sancho Radio, one of the two. Also does a lot of work for MUTV, travels all over the place with United, and of course Manchester United are in Turin at the moment for the Juventus game. So we'll get his reaction to everything that's going on inside the football club, and of course we'll get his opinion on some of the things that have been happening recently. We'll talk about the Bournemouth game. Martin and I will get into that. Of course we'll take a look at the Juventus game and the City game. So much to talk about. Before we do that, Martino, let's check in with Mickey Thomas here and see what he has to say, mate. We'll talk to Mickey, of course, about the mood inside Old Trafford, which is very important. So much speculation about how the players are. So it'll be good to get some inside feedback, I suppose, as to what is actually going on inside the football club. So let's give Mickey a shout here. Yes, folks, as promised, here is the magnificent Mickey Thomas, of course, joining us, who has had a bit of a snafu this morning trying to get his way to Turin. Absolutely delighted to have Mickey on the show, of course, long-term United stalwart, and has been following the club around, working with the club now for quite a while, so it's always brilliant to have Mickey on the show. Mickey, how's things, mate?
Well, thank you. Obviously, disappointing about this morning with the flight, but that's another thing. I'll have to get on with it. That's one of those things.
We will extend our deepest sympathies to you on that, Mickey. I want to ask you, of course, one of the things I want to ask you specifically is about the mood inside Old Trafford, because you get a lot of speculation in the media about it's a very divided dressing room. The mood is very negative. The players are not happy. The players are not happy with the manager. It's not a happy dressing room. You've been in dressing rooms, Mickey. You've been around that football club a long time. In your honest opinion, how is the mood inside Old Trafford?
Well, I think because what happens outside this football club, you know, they want to get news and make anything that they can, you know, to make it a little bit unhealthy at the club. But, you know, they're trying and striving, I think, the manager to get into that top four now, obviously 4 points behind Tottenham. They just have to focus on what they do. You know, whatever happens outside the football club, I just think they have to forget about it. There's always stories coming out in the newspaper every day on Manchester United. You know, and as I said, they just got focused and doing one thing, is winning football matches. At this moment in time, they've got two huge games coming up: Juventus tomorrow, and obviously the derby at the weekend against City. So they have to focus on that and don't get distracted for what's going on outside a football club.
Well, Mickey, talking about what's going on there, I look back at the Bournemouth game real quick, and the question I have is, and a question on a lot of the fans' minds really is, it's no coincidence in what we've seen so far this season. Why can't this team, this squad, put together a full 90 minutes? It's, you know, the slow starts have become commonplace, and you know it's taken us to go a goal down. We were obviously fortunate not to be three or four down by half time the other day, and come out and look like a completely different team second half.
I'm sure Jose Mourinho is trying to address the situation, because we know for a fact, and you know, guys, there's tougher games to come. Mm-hmm. You can't go out and just play 45 minutes. You know, they did that against Newcastle second half, got the victory, did it against Bournemouth. But when you play against better quality sides like Juventus and like City, you're not going to get away with it. You have to start from the word go. I'm not sure why they have to get a goal again to get them kick-started. I'm not so sure about that. But they have to work hard on that training ground. And as I said, as a team, they've got to get together and stick together and try and get the 90-minute performance in. Yeah, I mean, it's a win at the weekend, but it could have been so different if Bournemouth had took their opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, you've played football, you've been around the game your whole life. What do you see when you watch Manchester United? If you were a manager and you had to identify the reasons why United are not competing with City, they're not competing with Liverpool, what would be the things that stand out for you?
Well, I think with the quality that we have, and there's no question that there is quality in that, you know, squad, it just getting on that pitch and getting it together. Yes, I mean, it has been disappointing at times, you know, that the performance haven't been what we want to see. You know, but the manager, as I said again, he's working behind the scenes trying to get that. He stressed that in the last couple of interviews. You know, he's working hard on that training to get it right. He wants to be more expansive in that final third. But ultimately, you know, guys, as much as I do, it's down to the players. Whatever it's 11 he's picked for that game, they have to perform. And some of them have let themselves down. But we're starting now to see a bit more maturity in Martial. He seems to have found his feet now. He seems to be in love with the game again. And that's a plus for me. Of course, Lukaku has not travelled today with the team. He's out for the game. And unfortunately for him, and I try and protect him personally, because I think the quality that he gets from Wijnaldum hasn't been good enough. The supply hasn't been good enough. I think he's been isolated at times. And I think, you know, unfair criticism for me, because I think before I will criticise him properly, I want to see him get the opportunities on a regular basis. And if he doesn't take them, then I think you can have a look at him.
I know you touched on it just right there, but we talk about unfair criticism. Is Jose unfairly criticised? Because, you know, his comments after the game at weekend about, you know, defensively, you know, quite honestly, we were a shambles. And having said that, we worked so hard all week tactically on certain aspects of the game, defensively in particular, and there was zero reflection of what they'd been working on. So is he harshly criticised? And, you know, should more be put on the players?
Well, I think he came out with a strong statement, and it was a poor defensive display. There's no question about that. They got run ragged, and as I said, they were lucky to get that result. You know, it's been well documented, guys. You know, just as much I'm going to say here is that he had been on the lookout for another central defender. Mm-hmm. That hasn't materialised, and he hasn't been able to get that one player in. We know January's coming up very, very shortly, and might be the possibility he might get someone in there then to settle it down. But at this moment in time, you know, without David De Gea, it could be a lot different, you know, because he has been magnificent. I wouldn't put him in the back four, you know, because it's a unit together, but I think he's been separate. I think he's been outstanding.
Sorry,
Martino. Do you have another question, Ahmed? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, do you have any concerns about Matic? Talking about, you know, protecting the back four and protecting De Gea, do you have any concerns about Matic? Because, you know, he's not looking like the player he was last year. Is it possible he just needs a break, or, you know, is his best behind him?
Well, again, you know, we've all watched football, and I've played the game for a long, long period, and I've been in that midfield area, and I think Matic came with a big reputation. He's not one of those players that's going to be pleasing to the eye. He just does a very, very professional job. He's very, very easy on the eye for other people. He just plays it nice and simple. He doesn't do any special. You know, he's got his qualities in terms of trying to disrupt the opposition. You like to see him a little bit more in that final third, you know, playing them as killer balls. But unfortunately, I don't think that's really in his game. He's brought him for a reason. And I think maybe the midfield is not really being balanced of late. That might be hindering him in his performances. But as I said, you know, my own opinion is that he's not going to be a player that's going to, you know, look at you say, oh, it's top quality in that final third. You know, he can unlock a defence now. That's not the type of player Matic is. So, you know, he's got, you know, his qualities. But as I said, maybe to a fan or anyone watching the game, he maybe doesn't do enough. But off the ball, maybe, from my point of view, because I play the game, he might be doing a good job without anyone really seeing it from an outside point of view.
Mickey, you touched on January there. I'm speaking purely as a fan here. I don't have all the information, but the information that I have. What concerns me, we're talking about another centre-half. Baye and Lindelof were two centre-halves that Mourinho's bought. They've played together once this season, and that was Brighton. Fred has started two of the last eight. Newcastle, when United played Newcastle at home, Mourinho's signings were on the bench. Mm-hmm. January, we could have had a centre-back at the end of August, and there was a leak to the newspapers about Mourinho being overruled in the transfer market based on his opinion. A, I don't understand the point of having 50 foreign scouts and a manager if the guy at the negotiating table is going to make the decision and say, I don't think he's good enough, who's not a football man, who's a businessman. And B, I'm concerned about the solutions to the problems, like Mkhitaryan, like Alexis Sanchez, like Fred, like Lindelof, but they're not working, and that concerns me.
Well, I mean, I have to say this, and I'll be brutally honest here. You know, Manchester United is a different kettle of fish. The pressure at Manchester United from any other club is different. And I know, you just mentioned the players there, Fred has yet to settle in. I'll give him a little bit more time. Sure. And certainly with Sanchez, for sure. You know, when they signed him, I thought, right, we got the player that we really want. He will excite the fans. But maybe he's found it now that he's in the spotlight, not as much as he was at Arsenal, that he's feeling the pressure that he knows he has to produce. And maybe that weight on his shoulders is obviously having a problem in his performances.
I don't know. You just feel like part of Mourinho's job is to get more out of what he has. And we see, unfortunately, for Mourinho, when we see what's going on at City, at Liverpool, it doesn't help him. The other part of this, Mickey, is, and look, we saw Ferguson's season before United finished second in the league and threw it away. They think they finished 13th in that season. It's very hard to look at it and say this team's moving forward when you look at what happened in the first season, in the second season.
Yeah.
We've had two seasons, Mickey, where Mourinho has conceded the season prior to it finishing based on the fact that United have had to prioritise other competitions. They've basically written off games, 3-4 games to go, saying we don't have the squad to compete, we're going to focus on this. This is Manchester United. How can we not focus on a 38-game season? Here we are after 9-10 games. Mourinho's talking about we're fighting for second place in the Champions League. David Moyes was slaughtered for that type of mentality. I just want to see a winner, be a winner at Manchester United. There's no excuse for Mourinho saying that United don't invest like Juventus. They do invest like Juventus. I obviously Mourinho's a top manager, but some of the excuses are wearing thin. And I'm saying this purely as a fan, Mickey.
Well, I will say to that is, and I have my own opinion. You've got yours in that, and I think you know what the results haven't been good. But you know, and I know that if you don't get the results, he's going to become under pressure for his job. There's no question about that. But, you know, he's had that experience. He's got the pedigree of winning trophies and that. You know, at this moment in time, we're 4 points off that top spot. We want to be, obviously, in that top four. We play Juventus tomorrow. We're obviously, they qualify for the next stage, no question. You know, we're second at this moment in time. Valencia plays young boys. We take on Juventus. So it's going to be very, very difficult, you know. Juventus qualify, we have to focus on Valencia now that we can, you know, win that game when we play them, and hopefully we win the home game against Young Boys. But, you know, the Champions League, as you quite rightly said, and I agree, United have to be in the biggest competition. They have to be in contention for the Premier League. They have to be in the mix for that. And if it's not, it's a huge disappointment. And certainly for a Manchester United fan over the years who had the luxury of winning trophies year in, year out, it's very hard to take. But I'll rewind back the clock what's happened. And I'm not just picking up the judgment in this respect. I'm saying that with the transition of Moyes and Van Gaal, now the Mourinho into place as a head coach, it's very difficult to get rid of dead wood. He's got a problem, without doubt. There's players there that their careers are over, but it's getting them out of the football club and getting other people in that are right for the football team. He's trying to build, but it's not happening at this moment in time. It might take a little bit longer, but you're right. Patience is something that fans don't really have. They want it success tomorrow. They won it yesterday, believe it or not. And it is frustrating, but all you have to do is have a belief that Mourinho will get it right. And as I said, come into the season, he'll be judging where he is and what he's done.
Right.
So something United are not accustomed to, and just wanted your opinion on the director of football, on sporting director, or whatever you want to call it these days. With the current state, would United, in your opinion, benefit from that?
Well, I'll say this, and I've said it all season, and I find it quite sure that, you know, that people don't really get the real picture here. I don't think, and it's my own opinion, I might be completely wrong when I tell you now, I don't think that Jose Mourinho doesn't have a say in who he signs. I don't think that if he wants someone else is going to say, no, he's not for us, he's too expensive. I think Jose Mourinho has to have, as a manager, you want to be in control who you want to bring in and out of that football club. And that is by someone else. I find that very difficult to believe. I really do.
Mickey, with January not too far away, we touched on it recently there, but what would you do? What do you think Neto will do? Do you think Neto will be active in January? Do you think it'll be a centre-back? There's talk about maybe a centre-back and a striker to give Lukaku, in the event that he's injured, like we see, to give some relief, instead of moving Martial or inside or Rashford inside. What do you think Neto will do in January?
Well, I'll say this. I think if you get something that you want in January, you're going to be very, very lucky.
Right.
All the top players that are on long-term contracts, to get them away from the club they're at is going to be more difficult. You have to be very lucky in January to get what you really want. I think clubs are reluctant to let their best players go, you know, because there's still a long way to go in the season. So they might get one or two, but whether it'll be the right one, we'll have to wait and see on that one, guys. I mean, you know, so it's very, very difficult to get the right people in that particular time. For me, it's just a hit and miss in the transfer window in January.
Yep.
Providing there is nobody coming, I'm just interested in your thoughts on how close are the likes of Greenwood and Chong and Gomez. How close are these boys to you know, obviously disappointing to going out of the League Cup or Carabao Cup, whatever you call it these days. Disappointing to go out there because that's usually, you know, a breeding ground for some of the young boys to come through, and we may have seen. I know Greenwood scoring goals left, right and centre. We've seen glimpses of Gomez and Chong actually on tour and over here, and you know, how close are they?
Well, how close are they? It doesn't make no difference how close you are. It's whether the manager's going to take a gamble. You know, and you know, and that's the fact is, and the brutality of it is that the pressure to get results, some people are very reluctant to gamble and give opportunities to youngsters at a particular stage in the season. And that's why a lot of players from, you know, various clubs go on loan. So to answer that question, they might be good enough, but it's whether they're going to get the opportunity to go into that first team. A catalogue of injuries maybe, or suspensions, they might do it that way.
In your opinion, are these going to be United first teamers in the future?
Well, I think one or two have got a possibility. I think Gomez. I think one or two have got a strong possibility. But as I said, it's when is the right time to do it. You know, there's a lot of pressure, and I don't say this lightly. There's no other pressure like Manchester. I've seen it. I've played there. Mm-hmm. I played for Chelsea. Played for Everton. The only club in the world that when you go there, you know you have to deliver, and that's where comes the pressure of a player. Yeah. Some can embrace it, some can't.
Mickey, before you go, and like I say, I'm exceptionally grateful for you joining me. I'll throw it back to Martin if he's got anything left to ask you. But a quick prediction for United, of course, against Juventus and City. You fancy United to get positive results in those games? What do you think?
Well, I hope so. I think, you know, they have done before. I think tomorrow's game, I think we'll play a little bit conservative. I think we'll have to, you know, Ronaldo will be a goal threat. They've got quality throughout that 11 players they've got. It won't be easy, but if we can get at least a point, I'd be delighted. That would be a good result for Manchester United. But this Derby game, they're flying, City scoring goals for fun, week in, week out. But I know from playing in derbies, a different type of game. Anything can happen. United will go there. They'll go there with confidence. And City will be aware of United. They've already done the job when they were flying. So they'll be a little bit cautious as well. But they are at home and they will expect to win that game.
Yeah, on those two games, just real quick. From my perspective, I wonder how much it will actually help United being away from home, where it's a bit more accustomed to be a bit more defensive, so to speak, sit back and be able to hit on the counter. I actually think we're going to get positive results. I think it's going to suit us a little bit, a little bit of pressure off not at home in front of our own fans, and be allowed to hit on the break.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the Derby games as well, as they've gone over the years, and that, you know, they're very unpredictable to predict results. But the one thing, you've said it, and I'll emphasise it now, is that the defensive unit, we are going to get something out of the game, has to be on top of their game, really do. And I think protection from that midfield, whether you'll go 4-5-1, whatever, as I said, he might be a little bit to stifle them and maybe nullify Silva on that ball. That, I think that might be a game plan. But United, for sure, in Martial, I think we've got a match winning him.
Yeah,
if he can get enough of the ball, he can damage them.
Hopefully, Mickey, sometimes you see the best of Manchester United when they're up against better opposition, so hopefully United raise the occasion. We shall see. Mickey, all the best, mate. Enjoy the game on your settee tomorrow.
Okay, guys, don't worry. I've had a nightmare day today, but yeah, as I said, you've got to believe in Mourinho, you've got to believe in Man United, because they'll come good, there's no question. They're too big to be down, to be back up.
Yes, absolutely. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Mickey. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Have a nice day. Welcome back, folks. That was Mickey Thomas, of course, ex-Manchester United player. Martin, we have to remember that Mickey works for a club. And when someone works for a club, they're walking a tightrope in trying to tell you the truth, but protect their job and protect the sanctity of a dressing room and protect the sanctity of what goes on behind the scenes, and I get that. So one or two people, you might listen to that and think Mickey's being evasive, but he's not. And I think there's a couple of points to be picked up on here. I talked about January, Martin, and possibly another central defender. Well, a central defender that we should have had 6 months ago. But do you think a central defender is what this team's missing? I mean, to me, it's not just the only part. And I don't think a Harry Maguire or anyone else, if he'd came, would have made a Alderweireld or whomever, would have made a massive difference to what we're seeing.
Look, one of our regular listeners had commented, you know, to me that how much a difference a really good centre-back would have made. And my response to him was, an average centre-back would make a difference at this point. Because Smalling's been dreadful. Lindelof's coming into a little bit of form. Lindelof's, you know, maybe starting to get comfortable in the surroundings. He obviously doesn't, you know, Baye's kind of out of favour now. There's rumours now of potential bids from Spain and from Italy.
Ridiculous situation with
Baye. Yeah, ridiculous.
What happened?
I mean, it's, to me, in personal opinion, we're much more, or much further away than just a centre-back. Would a centre-back improve us? Obviously, a world-class centre-back. Of course, they would improve us. But it's about, there's no guarantees. It's about a partnership. There's going to be a bedding in period. You saw that with Van Dijk. I mean, Van Dijk's probably one of the best centre-backs in the world right now. It pains me to say. But it took him some time. You know, he looked all over the place, you know, when he went over there at Liverpool. It took him up. But now look, I mean, they've got a partnership there. They're not conceding goals. They look solid. I don't know what's gone on with Baye. How small is the first choice is crazy. Unless it's just, hey, trying to get that continuity, you know, between the pair of them and not wanting to break that up. But it's lucky. If I can understand if you're trying to get the continuity, but it's simply not working. The amount of goals we're shipping is frightening.
Well, you talk about continuity. What's the point of, yeah, if you're Smalling or Lindelof, knowing the club's target in the centre half in January, and they tried the Mourinho wanted the same one at the end of the window, it's not exactly a vote of confidence in you. And when you talk about dead wood that Mickey brought up, this is a really, really important point that often gets overlooked, because it's very difficult for Mourinho to go out and send people when the club have a sell to buy policy. How on earth do you get rid of someone like Rojo?
Well, we've been saying this for over a year, haven't we? Year, 18 months. That the deadwood there that needs to be moved on. It's so difficult to move them players. And look, United aren't even looking. It's not like United are turning down offers for me and saying, oh, it's, you know, it's way below market. It's the massive wages they're on. It's very difficult. I mean, there's only a handful of teams in world football who could pay the wages that some of these guys are on.
But you see, the whole Alexis Sanchez move, Martin, in my opinion, has caused so many problems. Because, first of all, when United bought him, he wasn't what the club needed. I wanted him to, but not for any practical reason. At that time, Martial was in fantastic form. Club didn't need another wide player. They buy Sanchez. Well, now what? Now De Gea is saying, I want Sanchez money. Now Martial. Now Luke Shaw. Now they're all being put on massive wages. And now you've created a problem. And why shouldn't De Gea be put on Sanchez's wages? Because Sanchez has been terrible. And De Gea's best goalkeeper in the world. So now you've created a problem where the only way to solve it is to really move Sanchez on. If PSG come in and offered United their money back, you snap their hand off for it. If Real Madrid come in and come after Mourinho, it's Ed Woodward's get out of jail free card. But the problem with Woodward is I don't trust him to fix the problem, even if Mourinho goes. He is the reason why United are in this position. He's the reason why there is no strategy in terms of picking a coach. Mm-hmm. He's the reason why there's no strategy with who they buy. You're looking at a mishmash of players that were bought for different systems, for different managers, basically from Ferguson to Moyes to Van Gaal to Mourinho, and the core of those players are still there. Why?
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. United don't recruit like a top team. And you know, the we talk about players' wages and transfer fees, Martin, because Mourinho's always slaughtered on net spend. It's not his fault that United paid 75 million for Romelu Lukaku. That's Woodward's fault. You talk about Spurs' net spend, but Harry Kane costs nothing. Harry and Lukaku cost 75 million. This is why net spend doesn't give you a true reflection of what's really going on.
Because look, Liverpool have been banging on about net spend for years. I mean, then they hit the jackpot with the Neymar deal, which threw costs all over the place, and those kind of deals. And then would Coutinho have gone for that amount of money previously? No. So they cashed in on that one. Which throws their net spend completely, out of whack. Mm. So net spend, it is what it is. It's look, players cost what they're going to cost nowadays. It is what it is. If you're worrying about net spend, then you're going to be in all kinds of trouble. If a player doesn't belong at your club, you've got to shift them on. And if you've got to shift them on for a reason, clubs know that. Unless you're these selling clubs who are selling superstars, you're offering mega, mega money. That's just what it costs. Nobody's going to be climbing all over United, hammering United's doors down for Chris Smalling, for Marcus Rojo, for some of the other, Matteo Darmian. You're not going to be getting 20, 25 million for those guys.
Let's just do this for a second. Let's just look at someone like Smalling for a second, right? Chris Smalling wouldn't get in to any team in the top half of the table. No top team. No top six team would pick Chris Smalling. He wouldn't break in. He's not good enough for that level. Bottom line, right? Because you can't coach intelligence and Chris Smalling doesn't have a brain. United centre-back pairing, according to Opta, have committed the most individual errors leading to opportunities. Goal scoring opportunities based on individual errors. That's not Mourinho's fault. If you make individual errors, that's your fault. You cannot do anything. You can't pick a system that will legislate for individual errors. So you've got these two clowns at centre back. By the way, I do think there's a defender in Lindelof, and to avoid repeating myself ad nauseum, we've said this every week for a long time, but I do think there's a defender. At least there's promise in Lindelof. With Smalling, we've got our answer. We know what he developed into. At his age, what type of player? There's very little development left in Smalling. So now we know that Chris Smalling never fulfilled his potential to be a top defender when he signed for United. There was times when he looked that way, but he's certainly not going to be a top defender. Why is he still there? Why United is still giving these people new contracts? Why is Smalling getting a new contract? Let his contract run down, because even if you have Smalling under contract for 4 years, what type of transfer fee would you get for him? Right? So doesn't belong at a club like Manchester United. United need a world-class centre-back. Take a look at all the top teams, Martin. They've world-class defenders. You cannot win anything without world-class defenders. If you look at the goals that United are conceding, from a corner, two players marking the same player. Come on, this is basic stuff.
It's that, and so many goals from, like I said, from set pieces, and from wide areas.
Do you know why, Martin? Look, there are certain things that happen at professional level that don't happen at any other level. But there are certain things that happen at all levels. Organisation at a corner or a free kick happens at all levels. And it's pretty simple. You don't have some people are zonal, some people man-mark, and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing on corners and set pieces. You're given that instruction prior to a game. hey, you pick up the big guy. It's not, and by the way, at our level, we don't know the names of the opposition. United are doing weeks and weeks and weeks of research. So it's not like anybody can be confused between Harry Kane and Lucas Moura. You're picking up Harry Kane. I thought you said...
You're seeing it, exactly. You're seeing it in these games. I mean,
of course.
There's so much finger-pointing and yelling amongst each other going, there shouldn't need to be any discussion. It's been worked on. It's been on the tactics board. It's been on the video. It's been on the papers in the folders that you see the coaches and the assistant coaches with. Now you see them making subs where they're folding over screenshot after screenshot after screenshot after screenshot of scenarios. So, you know, in that regard, that's why I asked Mickey about, is Jose unfairly criticised to a point? Because that's on the players. That is flat out on the player.
Well,
someone's not paying attention, or somebody's not buying in, or somebody doesn't, has lost a plot, a head in the clouds. You know, somebody's not paying attention, or, you know, just the focus is not there, because it's criminal. But the amount of times we've seen this happen.
These are things that are unforgivable at this level. These are, let's just say all of those things are true, or one of them is true. These are unforgivable at this level. Simple, basic things that professional footballers should sort out before they get on the pitch. That's a failure of the coaching staff, Martin. The coaching staff are going to have to explain why United can't link from defence to midfield to attack. How many times do we see the same scenario happen? Of a centre-back get frustrated, throw the arms in the air, clip a ball down the line because there's no outlet ball. There's no link between the defence, the midfield and the attack. It's always the same. It's always square ball, knock wide, put a cross in. Or hope that Martial can skip and hit a belting shot from 20 yards in the bottom corner. Because it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so that's a problem. That's a failure. After 3 years, these are things that Mourinho would have to explain why. How many players have improved under him? Very few. How many of his signings have worked? Very few. Why is this after? Why are we having a conversation after 3 years? Maybe if you're in your first year, you can justify the Juventus comments, but you can't do it after three. Why did you say that this squad finishing second was the best achievement, one of your best achievements in football? We know what he's hinting at, right? But United fans deserve answers. They deserve answers as to why the recruitment is so poor. They deserve answers about why the manager's being overruled on transfer deadline day. Alderweireld was offered to United on transfer deadline day at 30 million, 25, 30 million, and they still turned it down, right? Now, we know Tottenham need to sell. You see the situation. So I don't think they were ever serious. And in fact, it's been reported in the last 2 weeks, in the last week and a half, and I know this is true for a fact, that Woodward has dodged Mourinho when it comes to having conversations about January. My feeling is, Martin, purely speculative, and it could change, my feeling is the Glazers are up to something. They're either trying to sell the club or they're deliberately stifling expenditure. Maybe they want to borrow again, but it's no surprise they've had conversations about a European Super League. And of course, they've had conversations about streaming. There's a reason why the Glazers are curtailing spending right now. Obviously, they're not intending to hammer in huge amounts of money every year, but something's not right at the club, or they've completely lost confidence in Mourinho and are waiting for the inevitable of him failing on his target so they can sack him on the cheap. But something's going on.
Yeah, if there is going to be anything in January, I don't expect to be anything huge. I just don't see how they can go from, you know, this report, you've got 100 million to spend, which is ridiculous anyway. I mean, I don't know where people get that figure from and what, you know, why people think that, you know, all right, you have X amount of person. If he's 101 million, nope, we're not getting him. You know, that's just silly, you know. But I don't understand, but at the same time, wouldn't shock me to see United not do anything or do something. I mean, why give him the money now that you weren't going to give him in the summer?
Exactly.
So but with how we operate right now, that wouldn't shock me. There's a complete lack of strategy. I don't know, like I say, I mean, whether they go back in for, I mean, I hate to bring this into it, but even if Maguire was available, with everything that's gone on at Leicester, I don't think Maguire moves in January anyway.
There's no way.
I think, you know, just for the personal thing and the, you know, the devastating thing that happened to the boss. I mean, that team's going to be close knit. It's going to be tight, and they're going to battle their asses off to do all they can for him for the rest of the year. And then you look at the Alderweireld. I mean, the Alderweireld, if they're going to go Premier League. It's interesting, like I said, with what's going on with Tottenham Stadium, that's a shambles. I mean, it's. I think now more than ever, you've got to be looking at Real Madrid, looking at Poch, and I think Poch would be ready to go. And maybe a few of the players there, you know, would become available. I don't know. I mean, for somebody to come in at centre back, for me right now, if it's going to be in January, it would have to be someone inside the Premier League. Because you don't have time to blood someone. You know, it's always a gamble when you bring him in it's a bigger gamble when you bring him in from a foreign league, because the Premier League is just so demanding. United don't have time they don't have a month, 6 weeks to blood someone. Four or five games could decide top four or not top four, top six or not top six. But I tell you, an interesting one would be for me. And it might be a short term, but I think he would improve us. Is Nathan Ake,
mate? First of all, when last January United tried to address the immediate by signing Alexis Sanchez, Premier League player, knew the league, 29, played for Barcelona. And this is why I don't agree with Mickey that playing for United maybe has been too big for him. He played for Barcelona. He's okay. He knows how to play at a top club. And it didn't work. And now you're stuck with the 29-year-old on record wages that didn't work. Now what do you do? If Alexis Sanchez is 21, okay, then you're not panicking. United also must look at long-term when they're signing players. Because this, he'll do for right now. It's exactly the attitude that landed him with Mourinho. I get what you're saying, because you must always address the immediate too. You can, if you'd make the Moyes mistake of, I've got 5 years here, so I'm going to take this slowly, you'll get sacked. But in January, this is the problem, is that, let's say you give Mourinho 100 million. Glazers love nothing more than money. This is a manager that is a dead man walking. You think they're going to hand him 100 million in January? Not a chance. They're going to turn around to him in January and say, improve what you have. Because what if they turn around and sack him 2-3 months after? It would be, to be fair, financially imprudent to hand him that type of money. Because I think that there's a large part of United have already made their mind up on Mourinho. But Martin, imagine United actually prioritise football. Real Madrid, let me read you something here. Lopetegui's record this season for Real Madrid that got him sacked was play 10, won 4, drew 2, lost 4. Goals 4, 14, goals against 14. Mourinho's play 10, won 5, drew 2, lost 3. Goals 4, 15, goals against 15. A basically identical record. Lopetegui was sacked immediately. Because that's a football club that prioritises football. United don't do that. This is what I'm saying. He wouldn't last at a top club. And this is a Real Madrid, by the way, that are selling their best players and replacing them with youngsters. But the standard's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is a Real Madrid that doesn't resemble the one that was under Zidane. And still he gets sacked. See, this is why I'm frustrated. I have a serious problem with not a sacking club. Like, that's anything to crow about. Absolutely needed a sacking club. They just got with Busby, and they didn't sack Busby or Ferguson. But they sacked Tommy Docherty. They sacked Ron Atkinson. They sacked Sexton. They sacked Moyes. They sacked Van Hall. Absolute nonsense that it's not a sacking club. You don't know different to anybody else. If a manager doesn't work, you get the sack. As you should. So this idea that Mourinho's entitled to more time because it's Man United. So if someone's so blatantly wrong, you stick with them because you don't want to be called the sacking club? Absolute ridiculous.
Well, and you know, people always point to, you know the famous banner, Ta-ra Fergie. Mm-hmm. It was a different game back then. United were in a completely different situation to the state of the game today and the state of the club today. So, you know, to say that you can't sack him because you don't want to be saying it's look, Real Madrid are in a weaker league, you know, on paper, and you see the teams in that league, you know, they should be winning. You know, there's three or four teams in that league that challenge, you know, with United right now, and we've talked about this in previous shows, it is more and more like an Arsenal mentality by the day.
Of course.
The board are looking at that going, how far, not how far are we off the top, how far are we away from, how far are we away from fourth place?
Of course. What did Mickey say in that conversation? We're 4 points off fourth place. Fourth place is not a target for Man United.
No. Well, it is now, isn't it?
Of course.
It's a target for Manchester United.
It's not
a target for Manchester United Football Club.
No.
But you know, it's no longer a football club. It's Manchester United, the PLC, the business. So, you know, it's Arsenal mentality now. And it's with that board now at this point, it's how far are we off fourth?
Well,
success for them realistically is not trophies, it's not the performance on the pitch. Success for them is getting in the Champions League each year,
Martin,
and you know, making your commercial deals off the pitch. Yeah.
Well, if United have any idea, any ambition in finishing fourth, and this is ridiculous, we're even having this conversation, that after 9-10 games, this is what we're talking about, finishing fourth. To be fair to Mourinho, he warned us prior to the start of the season, but Lukaku's not scoring. Sanchez is not scoring. Rashford scored at the weekend. Martial's the only forward that have it scoring goals. They don't get goals from midfield. There's no goals from Lingard anymore. No creative. There's nothing creative from Lingard anymore. There's no goals from him. They don't get goals from wide areas. Well, how many goals has Maragan? How many goals has Lukaku got? These are putting in defender numbers in front of goal. You can't win anything where that's happening. You know, they're not creating enough. So this is okay again after a year, but if this is the result of 3 years of recruitment, 3 years of coaching, 3 years of implementing your ideas, it's not working. What is Mourinho now going to do that he hasn't already done that's going to change and stem the tide? And by the way, Martin, here's what I'm a little sick of. See, at the weekends, watching United used to be escapism from all the drudgery of life, of the day-to-day working, bills, and all the other nonsense. You'd sit down for a couple of hours and watch United. Well, now the opposite's happening. Now, one of the few times I don't enjoy watching football is when I watch United, because it's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then I have to watch City through my hands. Right.
What did I say to you after that City game? I'm like, jokingly, can you imagine being Jose Mourinho sitting there going, "Nah, that's not the way to play football."
Martin, the contrast is
frightening, wasn't it?
This
it was frightening.
This should be in reverse. This should be United doing what City are doing. But see, what is being illustrated to Manchester United right now is this is the consequence of being completely focused on profit, and this is what happens when you're focused on football. And when you're solely focused on profit, and that's the measure of success or failure, then don't be surprised that you've got a completely disjointed product on the field. It's not your priority. You're sending players for a commercial to exploit them commercially because they potentially turn a profit. When you want to sign players, see, you should. There's no problem with monetizing commercial rights and image rights and all that. That's not a problem. But they can't dictate why you sign a player. If you sign a player, go ahead and monetize him. That's fine. But don't be signing a player because you can monetize him. You know, I have a serious problem with this. And so when you're
that's why I've always said that, you know, the likes of De Gea, they're more likely to get rid of De Gea, best goalkeeper in the world. They're more likely to get rid of De Gea than they are in Pogba. Pogba can be as poor as you want, but goalkeepers do not have the same commercial appeal as outfield players. They're not. When's the last megastar goalkeeper?
If you're
because people don't buy goalkeeper shirts.
No, and I mean, if you're a football club that forget you're a football club, then you get what you get. But you're right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
I mean, it's you know, Buffon. I mean, but you know, he's not bringing you mass commercial value because they just the goalkeeper merchandise just doesn't, the shirts don't sell. So it's, you know, they would be more likely to sell. I mean, Pogba could be, he's been poor. He's been, you know, he's had his moments. His talk of going in. That's why they'd be so reluctant to sell him, because he's a megastar. He's a world star. He's, you know, recognized all over the world now. And so do they want to get rid of that? No, absolutely not. That's why, for me, Mourinho will go before Pogba goes.
Look, in 2012, when United handed Rooney that contract, it was their own fault. They were in a situation where they couldn't afford to lose him. that was at the time of the economic crash. Glazers didn't have the money to give Ferguson to spend. They were squeezing every last penny out of the football club. So they found themselves in a situation where their only global superstar that was selling and that advertisers wanted a piece of was Rooney. And Rooney knew this. So Rooney went to United and said, you better give me a shitload more money or I'm out the door. United couldn't do anything about it. Because if he had a left and went to City, it would have been a nightmare. It would have been a statement of intent. It would have been, United would have been humiliated out of this. This couldn't possibly have been a worst outcome. Ferguson hated City, and so United found themselves in this situation. So Woodward, of course, wasn't there at the time. It was Gill, but said, we need to have other superstars that we can market around the world. That was his goal, to come in and sign Ronaldo, to do Galacticos, to do... He believed in that. The problem is he doesn't have the nous to pull off those signings, right? He got Pogba because Pogba was desperate to come back to United, and there wasn't a massive amount of interest that was concrete in him. Well, but any time United get concrete interest in any time of competition for a top level player, they don't get him.
And then that's what you're seeing with the Sanchez thing. I mean, Sanchez has commercial value, but I think we mentioned this when we signed. I mean. What could he have possibly been on? Now, knowing that Arsenal broke their transfer, the cap to give what's his name all that, to give Ozil whatever he's on 200, whatever they gave, to know that they broke it and smashed it to give him that much money. I mean, Sanchez was probably 100-120 a week. Well, you know, somewhere in that range would be reasonable to estimate. Why do we bring him over and that contract's all of a sudden 400 if that's the reported amount is correct, 400 plus a 75 grand a week, 75 grand appearance bonus. Why has it taken that? I mean, is that what it took to get him over here? I mean, because what you've done is what you talked about earlier is, I mean, you've dug yourself in a massive hole now.
Yeah.
You know, even if Sanchez goes, the players, the likes of the Gea, quite rightly say, oh, well, the money is there because you were paying it.
But, and as long as he's there, that's a legitimate argument for the likes of the Gea.
And Martial's put himself in a fantastic position now because, you know, he's the goal scorer at the club. He's the informed player. He's, you know, rightly so. Even if you, or did they say the one he turned down reportedly is 150, which would double his wages. And he's saying no to that, and rightly so.
Surely United thought of this. We've got 10 players down to the last year of their contract. Surely they thought, if we had Sanchez 400 grand a week, and we really don't know what it is, to be honest, but it's significant. And clearly he's, I would say, the highest paid player at the club. So they had to have thought about the impact that this was going to have on players asking for new contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are parsimonious, like the Glazers are, it's cheaper for them to hand players new contracts than it is to go out and buy players. But you get stuck with them. And this is why United are still stuck with Chris Smalling and Phil Jones, who will never be top-level defenders. Who Phil Jones could play football for the next 100 years, and for the next 100 years he'll spend half the season out injured. He's just got that type of body. Chris Smalling will... We are getting the best Chris Smalling you'll ever see right now, and he's not good enough. It's not like he's going to develop over the next year or two into a top-level defender. Darmian is an ornament. Should have been moved on at least a year ago. Rojo, another ornament. Should have moved him on a year ago. Right? I mean, these are players that don't belong at this football club. We're still persevering with a left-winger and a right-winger as fullbacks. I mean, is there any surprise United are in this situation? It isn't to me. None of these players would survive at a top club. Real Madrid would have bombed them out long ago. These wouldn't be options. And this is unacceptable. They wouldn't have survived at City. But because the Glazers, they know if Darmian goes, Mourinho wants a replacement. It's cheaper to keep him. If they get divorced, cheaper to keep him.
They deserve everything. I mean, they put themselves in this position. And it's just crazy to think that they're in this position.
Do you know what I'm surprised that United don't do more of? I'm surprised United have not copied the Chelsea and City model of buying young players and develop the sale. Because that's so lucrative for the likes of Chelsea and City. But anyway, we'll move on, Martin. Just a quick prediction, because need to wrap this up. We're running short on time. Droning on here. Quick prediction for Juventus. Most people will hear this after the Juventus game. Juventus and City.
Well, first of all, it's not only a massive week for United. It's a massive week for Jose as well. Two negative results there. And I think the board are going to be in, a really tough position there where they may have to act. I think if United lose tomorrow against Juventus, I mean, there's serious doubts whether then they can get out of that group. Which would be an absolute nightmare commercially. But as I spoke with Mickey about, I think being away, I think will suit United a little bit more. Playing against top teams without a little bit less pressure in front of your own fans. I think it's more acceptable to play deeper and hit on the counter. And I think with Martial in form and. I hate to say, but with Lukaku not there, you're almost forced to go with a Rashford or a Sanchez. So there's going to be pace up top to hit on the break. But I think we'll at least get a draw. I think it's going to suit us. We're going to at least get a draw there, and then if we can do that or somehow sneak a win there tomorrow. I don't think they go to City in fear. Watching City play is phenomenal. I don't think they go there in fear. I think they go there and take the challenge. And, it's going to be a hell of a game. And United, if United start the way they have been doing, the game will be out of sight within 20 minutes. And there'll be no second half comebacks against that City team. Now, that City team's a much better team defensively than they were last year. I don't think there's any coming back. If City take the lead in that game, you could see hide behind your couch. it could get ugly.
I think this is going to be a week where United fans are going to have to look at these games through their fingers. I think United are going to come out and be extremely defensive, like Mickey said. Mm-hmm. I think they'll come out and be negative. They'll try to kill both games. Mourinho doesn't trust these players. He certainly won't trust them to be good enough to match them.
Am I right in saying Fellaini travelled?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I know Fellaini and Valencia trained yesterday. So it wouldn't surprise me to see, if they trained and they've come out of the training session okay and they have travelled, it wouldn't surprise me to see Fellaini play at all. It's going to be a six at the back type, isn't it?
I think it's going to be two defeats. I just have to be honest, Martin, and judge United on Mourinho's comments that United are at this level. I think it's going to be two defeats, and I think it's going to be two reminders of just how far United are away from. I don't want to be this negative. Believe me, nothing would make me happier than to see me proved wrong and see United win both games. Even at Bournemouth at the weekend, that last minute winner with Rashford, my total goon. But it's hard to be optimistic, but with United, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, there's nothing the way you look at United, dude, you've got nothing to draw on. Well, you do. What you have to draw on what we've seen so far is you've got no idea. But there's nothing there. There's nothing we've seen so far, certainly this season, that tells you United can go to Turin and bang out a comfortable win, and then go to City and bang out a comfortable win. Yeah. There's no proof there. And there's nothing you can look back on and draw from and say, if they do this, if they do this, they're so far away and they start so slowly and approach games so negatively that, if you let the likes of Juventus and the likes of City get on top, it could get up. But I'm trying to remain positive. I think being away in that situation and the setup we will most likely have on the counter, I think it will suit United more than it did at home, and I think we can get a positive result in Turin. But realistically, we need a win.
I would be absolutely stunned if United were to go there and win that game. I can't see it. I would love to see a repeat of last season against City away. Mm-hmm. I can't see that either. This is going to. It's times like this in California legalized weed. And we will leave it
he
there.
He has a habit of pulling these results out against top teams sometimes, out of nowhere. So I'm drawing. That's what I'm drawing on. I'm trying to be positive.
We'll see. I don't know. I would love to be wrong and see United do something in these next two games and use it as a springboard, but I just can't see it. But with United, you never know what you're going to get. We shall see. We leave it there. Folks, thanks to all of you who download the show, who follow us on Twitter, who retweet the show, the link to the show, who follow us on Facebook and all that stuff. We're trying really, really hard to add people to BTP to improve some of the services that we offer. But just try to remember, it's pretty much us doing this all on our own with no resources. And we all have lives, wives, kids, other jobs. So we appreciate any help you can give us with retweets, likes, and all that. So that is the lifeblood of this podcast, and it's why we do it. So thanks to all of you for the follows and likes and all that there. Martino, I will be in touch throughout the week, mate. All the best. I hope wherever you're listening to this, folks, you're all healthy and well, and this reaches you well. All the best, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, right, everyone. Martino. Bye. See you.